You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is Ralph Kermit Winterode II coming to you live out of Alaska. It's springtime in Alaska. We're up in the 60s and the snow is melting and I am happy as a clam at high tide. Thank goodness in the sun that the snow has gone away. I've had enough of that nonsense for a while. But it'll be back. I'm going to cover quite a few subjects today. Executive orders, the Administrative Procedures Act. But I've got a couple of other things that are, I listened to Bill Still, and he had a clip on Anonymous. I once was a policeman. It's not too long. And I listened to that, and it's definitely worth airing. So let's go ahead and play that clip. I once was a policeman.
Good Sunday morning. I'm still reporting on the coup. A key part of the coup is to destroy the rule of law as our mighty nation was founded on the principles of equal justice before the law, as well as honest police work that helps keep us safe from criminals. Once that is broken down, then we are no longer subject to the rule of law, but we devolve 300 or 400 years back to the law of the jungle and the rich oppressing the poor, only with a different set of middlemen oppressors. This came in today from an anonymous author entitled, I Was a Police Officer. I can't say this any better. I was a police officer. Today I will not answer the radio call that your boyfriend has come home drunk and is beating you again. Today I will not answer the radio call that your 16-year-old daughter, who is very responsible, is 4 hours late coming home from school. Today, I will not answer the radio call that your store has been robbed or your house has been burglarized. Today, I will not stop a drunk driver from killing someone. I will not catch a rapist or a murderer or a car thief. Today, I will not answer the radio call that a man has a gun or tried to abduct a child or that someone has been stabbed or has been in a terrible accident. Today, I will not save your child that you locked in a car or the child you were too busy to watch who went outside and fell into the swimming pool, but I revived. No, today I will not do that. Why? Today I was suspended from duty for doing my job because the media, liberals, a community organizer, a lawyer who formerly represented terrorists and is currently the U.S. Attorney General, and a mayor who ran on an anti-police agenda, who are all advised by a drug dealer, liar, and income tax cheat. And all who know nothing about policing have vilified my profession because today, I was killed by a drunk driver while I was helping push a disabled car off the highway. Today, I was shot and killed during a routine traffic stop to simply tell someone that they had a taillight out. Today, I was killed in a traffic accident rushing to help a citizen. Today, I was shot and killed serving a warrant on a known drug dealer. Today, I was killed by a man when I came by to do a welfare check because his family was too busy. Today, I was killed trying to stop a bank robbery or a grocery store robbery. Today, I was killed doing my job. A chaplain and an officer will go to a house and tell a mom or dad or a wife or husband or a child that their son or daughter or husband or wife or father or mother won't be coming home today. The flags at many police stations were flown at half-mast today, but most people didn't know why. There will be a funeral, and my fellow officers will come, a 21-gun salute will be given, and taps and bagpipes will be played as I am laid to rest. My name will be put on a plaque, on a wall, in a building, in a city, somewhere. A flag folded will be placed on a mantle or a bookcase, in a home somewhere, and a family will mourn. There will be no cries for justice. There will be no riots in the streets. There will be no officers marching, screaming, "No justice, no peace." No citizens will scream that something must be done. No windows will be smashed. No cars burned. No stones thrown. No names called. Only someone crying themselves to sleep tonight will be the only sign that I was cared about. I was a police officer.
Well, I think that says, oh, gosh, hold on a minute. My guy's darn cap again. Am I still on the air here? He got around and, okay, he gets up here and he turns on the, I don't know how he does that. I've got a player up here and he can turn that on with his paw, that little button. I don't know how he finds it. Anyway, there will be no church, like with George Floyd, filled with politicians. There will be no carriage, white carriage, horse-drawn for policemen like Floyd and Brown. Why is that? Here's what you get when you're a policeman and you're killed, or even in the military. This is what you get. Go ahead and play that. If you're a policeman or a military. That's it. I cannot hear that without, I used to hear in the military. But to me, that's very moving. We are vilifying the police no matter what they do. Very few blacks unarmed are killed. There are more whites killed than blacks. 15% of the population is black and 40 to 50% of the crime is done by blacks. Why is that? Why are we seeing in all of these towns, big cities, crime rates, 30, 40, 50, 100% crime and rapes and murders? Because we keep laying off the cops. Unfunding. Oh, we got to unfund them. They're bad. No matter what the cop does. I've never been a policeman, but I've talked to a few. I used to deal with them. There's a few of them that were ornery to me in a way, but so what? I would not want to be a cop today. Because everybody's against you. Your politicians, no matter what you do, that George Floyd is a crock of smoke. That neck thing did nothing. It's all perception. What do they do when people die? They have an official autopsy. Cops can't tell. You can't tell by looking. The official autopsy, George Floyd. Nothing wrong with the neck. Nothing wrong with the esophagus. Nothing wrong with the breathing at all. No injury at all. He had 3 times the lethal dose of fentanyl. He had methamphetamine and God knows what else. And he was saying before he got out of the SUV, I can't breathe. But facts are irrelevant. It's perception. These people are up there. I don't know what kind of a lawyer he had. How do you talk about, oh, well, you know, he looked like this. He looked. That's not fact. It's perception. It's called social justice. There is no such thing. Not in a rule of law. Because what you think you see is not facts. Why do they have autopsy? Why do they even bother doing one? These people knew he was guilty before anything ever happened. Absolutely, he murdered him. They didn't even take it out of the same city. They left the jury unsequestered, and they threatened to burn the city down, and you think the jury members were threatened they'd come and burn their house down? Oh, but that's all right, that's justice. That's mob justice, because if you don't do what we want, we're going to come and burn you out. Really? That cop got railroaded. First of all, he should have had any cop like the ones in Baltimore on Gray. They had bench trials to get off because you cannot rely upon the idiots in the towns, these Democrat-controlled towns. They're dumber than a rock, most of them. They're biased. They're Democrats. They're the minions of Satan. They don't understand, for some reason, they burn their own damn businesses down, and then they won't even, they go to the business, well, I don't know, you know, the cops didn't come. Have you ever thought about maybe you need to quit electing the people that are keeping you slaves? You don't hear them talk about that. Why? There are people there, but of course now that we know what Dominion is doing, there's probably a real good reason all these big cities have Democrats in power. It's rigged. It's a rigged deal. And Mike Lindell, the biggest crime in history, he said every state was, they had modifications, even Alaska. I've wondered how all of these judges and some people, you ever talk to them, you don't hear a good word about, we got some judges that are just pure evil. Always by 52, 53%. They just barely squeak by. I think I know why now. It's rigged. We got Murkowski up here. She'd never have been elected. She paid the natives to vote. Absentee ballot. They made the paper. It's no big deal. How much does it take to get your vote there? Oh, I don't know. What do you think? And nobody does anything. I sent out to every senator and every representative in Alaska, to the Department of Law, to all of the borough in Fairbanks, Matsu and Juneau and Anchorage, the Alaska Bar in 1974. created a new administrative court system. They changed the name, they changed the venue, and you can go on the internet right now and just look up the Alaska Bar Association, look at the charter, or I'll send it to you. The very first thing out of the charter, we're creating administrative districts that are similar to these other legislative venues. You say, wait a minute, this can't happen. What was done in 1959, of course, Alaska came in on an equal footing with the other states. We have what's called an integrated bar, which means there is no separation of powers. They use the Alaska bar definitions as though they are the legislature. Isn't that just special? Did you know the Alaska bar has legislative power to create a whole new administrative court system? Oh, yeah. They did it in 1974, and nobody cares. I sent this out. I didn't hear from a single one of them. Why? Are they dumb? Are they just corrupt? Or both? I don't know. I would think they would be interested, because you hear them talk about, well, you know, we don't have any of the courts. They don't rule in our favor. These courts have... They are beholding only to the Alaska Bar. The Alaska Bar created them. The other ones still exist in the code, but there ain't nobody home. And then they have a Rule 4 or 5 and Rule 64 that makes them take an oath. They can't do constitutional law. Butler, a very prominent black Negro attorney, and several others helped me up here. I said, what the hell is going on in this state? He said, until the people wake up, nothing's going to change. He's right. He says, I ain't going to do nothing. So the wife will divorce me, they'll pull my bar card, and I'll be homeless. They did that in Alaska. Can you imagine? The Alaska bar took the legislative power in the open and print it and say, we are making a new court system. And nobody does anything? And nobody's interested? And then we wonder why all of these states, every one of them, has something called a state plan, started in 1935, for the unemployment to make everything equal. Every regulation is a code of federal regulations, which I'm going to talk about the second hour. They're all federal CFRs, and none of them have the force and effect of law. And they pay bounties on children. Yes, adopt them out. And you get over this, we'll give you money. And the judge is audited. There is a cooperative agreement between the, quote, executive, the CSSDs, the slavers, and the court system. And the judge in the thing, rule in Article 6B, he is audited for the amount of money he makes for everybody, including the Department of Law, the troopers in Alaska, and the CSSD. And the court system. They all get money. They're selling children for money right in front of us. And nobody cares. You just can't make this stuff up. I've talked about this before. I had a gal up here that I helped. Alice Brown. She lost her little daughter before I figured all this out. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I just kept digging and digging, and they adopted her out, and I finally got to the bottom of it. They tried it in Montana with her again on a second son that was born out of wedlock, and they gave her a $20,000 check, and they think if you want to see the docket, they said it was settled. It was a settlement. You're right. We didn't want this. We don't want the people to wake up to find out we're boxing, we're selling children off because we all make money. If a child is being relocated into another family or something, and there's money changing hand, I think they used to call that slavery. But what do I know? I wasn't back then. I wasn't alive back in the mid-1800s or early 1800s. Back in a minute.
we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, we're back. Are we going to save our republic? I don't know. I know one thing I told these people on this. There's two ways I can do it. I got 1,400 people down here that went on to jail at Goose Creek Correctional Facility, and I'm going to make an offer down the road here to help anybody that wants out. I don't care what they do. It's irrelevant. And I'm also going to go after the Matsu Borough over here on foreclosure. Because they have an insurance on the foreclosure. They let that out. I got my land. I advertised it four times in the paper. I sent them notice. And I have a lodeal title, or also called fee simple absolute. And I recorded it. And they don't want to talk about it. Duh. Because we're not taught about legal owner, equitable owner. We're not taught there are, you got to have possession, right of possession, right of property. We're not taught any of that. Why is that? Why? They want us to remain slaves, and we get around, and we're so ignorant, illiterate, we're actually voting for our own slave masters to make us slaves. And then we say, oh, this America started off with a bunch of old white men that were all racist. Well, I'm going to play Paul Harvey because I think it's interesting to know. These old white men, did something that I don't know if anybody around today would do. They mutually pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. How many people's going to do that today? 56 men did it. They kept it secret for 6 months. Let's go ahead and play Paul Harvey, because these people gambled it all for us, and we're pissing it away. Paul Harvey, ready? Hello? I'm not hearing anything here. Hello? Is it not coming to me, or what's going on here? I was going to play the clip from Paul Harvey here, but seem to have lost connection with... RBN here for a little bit. Well, till we find out what's going on here. How many people do you know would pledge their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor? These people were the top of the line, rich, influential people. And they knew they would probably lose everything. Yeah. And they still did it. And somehow we don't know about this. Why is that? Why is it really not caught? We're talking about all these, about the blacks and all this other nonsense. Slavery. It boggles the mind. What is to be gained in telling a lie? Nothing. The truth is always the truth. That's something we can all have a society with. You can't have a society based on lie. That's hell, folks. That's what hell is all about. There's no truth there. It's all a lie. And that's what's going on today. And they're rubbing our... It is so beyond insanity. You can't even find a shred of logic or common sense in what they're doing. We're going to defund the cops, shut down, like in New York, the ones that were doing all the gangs and the guns. And what's going on? Hey, Senator, I wanted to get here. Okay, let's go ahead now and we'll play Paul Harvey.
Americans, the how and the why of our beloved republic are so much better known and understood than the who. The United States of America was born in 1776, but it was conceived 169 years before that. The earliest settlers had watered the New World with much sweat. They had built substantial holdings for themselves, for their families. And when the time came to separate themselves from a tyranny an ocean away, at best, it meant starting all over again after the ravages of war. Researching what you're about to hear gave a whole new dimension to my reverence for our nation's first citizens. All others of the world's revolutions, before and since, were initiated by men who had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Our founders had everything to lose and nothing to gain. Except one thing. Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You remember the cherry tree fiction. A long time after you have forgotten the more earth-shaking, history-making episodes in the life of George Washington. You have misplaced in your memory the details of Ben Franklin's statesmanship, but you remember his flying a kite. Joyce Kilmer was a great military hero.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, we're back here, and God, I hate accountability. I thought it was the bottom of the hour. I guess I'm going to have to take the blame, but I'm 79, so I'm going to claim what Biden is. Oh, man! Does that work? I don't know. Probably not. Anyway, let's go ahead with these are these old white men that were extremely wealthy, extremely influential, and they put their "we mutually pledge to each other our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor." You know any politicians that would do that today? I don't. Let's listen, because this is red. When I watched that George Washington, I'm telling you, that man got his tush. He was outnumbered. It's amazing what he accomplished to get our republic. Go ahead.
Americans, the how and the why of our beloved republic are so much better known and understood than the who. The United States of America was born in 1776, but it was conceived 169 years before that. The earliest settlers had watered the New World with much sweat. They had built substantial holdings for themselves, for their families. And when the time came to separate themselves from a tyranny an ocean away, at best, it meant starting all over again after the ravages of war. Researching what you're about to hear gave a whole new dimension to my reverence for our nation's first citizens. All others of the world's revolutions, before and since, were initiated by men who had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Our founders had everything to lose and nothing to gain. Except one thing. Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You remember the cherry tree fiction. A long time after you have forgotten the more earth-shaking, history-making episodes in the life of George Washington, you have misplaced in your memory the details of Ben Franklin's statesmanship, but you remember his flying a kite. Joyce Kilmer was a great military hero. But the only thing you personally recall about him is his poetic tribute to trees. Maybe of this current decade, that which will be remembered best will not be its wars and its moon rockets or its crumbling frontiers or the giants who lived and died. Maybe all that'll survive to linger in the day-by-day vocabulary of generations yet unborn may be the songs of a Memphis minstrel or the reincarnation of electric automobiles. But for any eve of the 4th of July, I, Paul Harvey, do herewith bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated. 24 were lawyers and jurists. 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light a fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry. There was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history. But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. 56 men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. And if they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge. And here is the documented fate of that gallant 56. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter, trader, saw his ships swept from the seas. To pay his debts, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch, Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. His wife and he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France, was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett, Alton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia, raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate, and he was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. It was destroyed. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The Hessians seized the home of Francis Hopkinson of New Jersey. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed, his wife imprisoned. She died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed that declaration, was captured, mistreated, his health broken to the extent that he died at 51. His estate was pillaged. Thomas Hayward Jr. was captured when Charleston fell. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. And he died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. Lewis Morris saw his land destroyed, his family scattered. Philip Livingston died within a few months from the hardships of the war. John Hancock, history remembers best due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for, that great sweeping signature attesting to his vanity, towers over the others, one of the wealthiest men in New England. And yet he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war, and he said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it." So he, too, lived up to the pledge. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you had of the men who met that summer in Philadelphia. But I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. They were rich men, most of them, and had enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living. Not hungry men, certainly not terrorists, not irresponsible malcontents, not fanatical incendiaries. These men were prosperous men, wealthy landowners. They were substantially secure in their prosperity. They had everything to lose. But they considered liberty, and this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned that liberty is so much more important than security, that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price. And freedom was born.
Talking about this. Oh, no. It's about, this was a slavery country. This is all black. It's all about making slaves out of everybody. They risk it all for liberty. And what are we doing about it? I don't know. I don't see a lot. I think there's a lot of good people out there. Mike Levin is in the fight. Levin TV. The largest crime in the history of the world, done by machines and corrupt politicians and corrupt people working in all the states. And he's got the evidence. And nobody wants to talk about it. LindellTV.com. I highly recommend you go and watch his absolute corruption, and then the latest one is absolute interference. It's going to come out. I still think Trump and General Flynn have something up their sleeve, but I don't know. But I know that Lindell's not going to back down. He's got the evidence, the real evidence, where it came from, where what computers, IP addresses, everything. What more could you want? And nobody wants to talk about it. And we have these cowards like Pence and our Senate. Fruit of the poisonous tree. And they go in there, well, no, none of the courts have addressed this. And none of the legislatures of these states got enough cojones to do anything. So we're just going to accept a corrupt certification. It's called fruit of the poisonous tree. That is such an ingrained part of the English common law. You cannot gain if what you are basing it on is corrupt. Fruit of the poisonous tree. It's used to the lowest levels, even traffic citations. You can use it there. I mean, it's unbelievable. Did any of the senators do anything? Nope. I've only heard Laura Ingraham bring that up once on her show. And just because the courts won't take it up, if they're corrupt, does that validate the corruption? Let's see, I get around and I'm buying some land, and I know that there's been $100,000 stolen out of the bank, and it's got this colored stuff on it, and the guy comes to buy my land, and I see that's on it, but well, nobody prosecuted him because we got prosecutors that are not going to prosecute. So therefore, there's no problem. It's stolen money. I'll just take it and move on. Are we like stupid? Or are we just cowards? My people die for a lack of knowledge. And I'm telling you what's coming on my homepage. I'm finishing up the administrative law stuff. Imagine a country where the legislative power is in the legislature or in Congress, right? That's the people we're supposed to be elected. Do you know how many state officers are elected in America today? None. There's no elections for them. They print it. National Voter Registration Act of 1993 is only for federal offices. All of these states are now sovereign states of the United States of America. How do I know that? Because they put it in their pleadings in PACER. That's their standing. What happened to being one of the several states? Oh, we're not going to talk about that. And nobody's got PACER. 10 cents a page. Nobody's going to go read this stuff because we don't even know there's a problem there. And most people wouldn't know what to do if they read it. We want stupid people voting for us for promises, for benefits. We are being ruled just like in the Matrix by machines. We are being ruled by agencies. They're not elected by us. We don't know where this stuff comes from. And they don't make laws of the United States. So why do we listen to the ATF or the IRS or the SEC? There's a whole laundry list of them. They're called independent establishments. I think it's 44 U.S.C. 3502. I think it is. Let me check that. My memory serves me right. They list a whole bunch of them. These things sit outside the government. They're outside the Constitution. Yes. Yeah, it's 44 U.S.C. 3502. The Federal Reserve system is the first one. That's 12 bankers, independent bankers. They got nothing to do with the government. Federal Reserve's nothing federal about it. You just can't make this up. And who are they? Well, we got Community Futures Trading Commission, the Community Consumer Product Safety Commission, the Federal Communications Communications Commission, the FCC, The FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. We got the Federal Energy Regulation Commission. We got the Federal Housing Finance Agency. We got the Federal Marine Commission. We got the Federal Trade Commission, FTC. We got the Interstate Commerce Commission, the ICC. We got the Mine Enforcement Safety and Health Review Commission. We got the National Labor Relations Board. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Occupational Safety and Health Commission, we got the Postal Regulatory Commission, we got the Security and Exchange Commission, SEC, the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, the Office of Financial Reserve, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and more. They're independent regulatory agencies, and they print it, folks. Back in a minute. Wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Well, we're back here. Mr. Comrade Biden. The emergency presidential determination of refugee admissions for fiscal year 2021. Executive order 80, in the Federal Register. 86 FR 21159. An unforeseen emergency refugee situation now exists due to a new and increasing political violence, repression, atrocities, and humanitarian crisis in countries including Burma, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Hong Kong, China, South Sudan, Syria, and Venezuela. Is this thing valid? See, what they do, they put steps in these. That's why you need Westlaw. They use the Immigration Act, and after appropriate consultation with Congress, I just checked that briefly before I came on the air, another one goes, and after consultation with the Judiciary Committees, I have not a dang clue what the heck the Judiciary Committees would have to do with immigration. These secondary steps is what they miss, and how are you going to prove it? Because then you got to go to the Judiciary Committee, or you got to go to Congress and say, hey, when did this happen? And now you're about a month out, because these guys don't want to talk. This is what they do. Most of what Comrade Biden's executive orders are nonsense. And I'm going to have that on my homepage. I'm getting this ready, but I'm really going to be able to go after these agencies. What did Trump do? He got around and did an executive order October the 9th, 2019. Policy, departments, agencies of the executive branch adopt regulations that impose legally binding requirements on the public, even though in our constitutional democracy, only Congress is vested with legislative power. So the question becomes, how can agencies operate? Legislative power is in Congress or the legislature. He goes on to say, the Administrative Procedures Act generally requires agencies in existing that solemn responsibility to engage in notice and comment rulemaking to provide public notice of proposed regulations under Section 553 of the United States Code. Yet agencies sometimes use this authority inappropriately in attempts to regulate the public without following the rulemaking procedures of the APA all the time. I've never seen one yet. And it goes on, agencies may impose legally binding requirements on the public only through regulations and on parties on a case-by-case basis through adjudication or only after appropriate process, except as authorized by law or incorporated in a contract. Do they do that? No. Do you know how to blow it out of the water? Can you read it? No. How would you know? All these states are sitting, agencies sit under, piggybacked on the feds. IRS, all of these. Do they teach this in school? No. They don't even teach lawyers in law school. Except to a few. The ones that rules. So how are you going to find this out? What did old Comrade Biden do? Let's see what old Comrade Biden did when he gets in. The very first day that he gets in office, what does Comrade Biden do? He gets around and gets rid of Trump's thing that the APA ought to get around. And what's his reason? Back in a minute.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms or you have a concealed weapon permit and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity.